Mercedes-Benz Oakville is offering 0% finance rates for 60 months on all remaining 2014 C-Class demonstrators, plus three payments waived. The Mercedes-Benz Oakville demonstrator sale is on now until October 31st. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.ca.
The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Up a little bit early on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard here in the studio with Nick Kypreos and Glenn Healy. We bring you the press conference involving Martin Brodeur, in which he will announce his retirement. We'll go to St. Louis in about 4 minutes' time, Scott Trade Center. Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the St. Louis Blues, will also address the media. 691 career victories, most of them with the New Jersey Devils, but Martin Brodeur set to announce his retirement and sign those retirement papers. Nick, I was wondering yesterday why he had to sign his retirement papers, because if he didn't, he's a little bit of an insurance clause standing by for the St. Louis Blues in case Elliott or Allen get hurt.
Well, and maybe Heels can touch on this because he was at the Players Association, but it's always been understood for me or any other player that there is no benefit to signing your retirement papers. So I don't know whether or not it's needed in this scenario. What they need to do is terminate the contract, right? Because Marty has a NHL contract with the St. Louis Blues. And to go through that process, it's my understanding that he needs to technically to be suspended. He'll go on waivers for the purpose of terminating a contract. So I don't know where the benefit is to sign papers. Heels, what do you make of it?
You take a fork and you stick it in him and you say, you're done. It's over.
Yeah.
It's just this. It's paper. Doesn't matter. You box yourself in if you sign them, so you don't sign them. Did you ever sign yours?
No.
I've never even seen them. I've been retired for a long time. I retired at 40. I don't know of a single player that has signed them.
Is there a cap implication here where if he signs the retirement papers, his money comes off the St. Louis Blues cap?
Be all that white noise, I think today is more just a celebration of one of the greatest goaltenders. This stuff is boardroom garbage that they have to worry about in St. Louis, where I look at it and I say, you know, and I played against Marty, mm-hmm. and I can recall in 94 when we played in the semifinals against the New Jersey Devils, and this kid was in the net, and it was fearful. We played game 7, first overtime. I think we outshot them 16-4, and I was sitting on the bench. Mike Richter was in the net, and I thought, we may lose because of one guy, and it was Marty Brodeur. And that was the fear we had. We ended up winning. Stephan Matteau scored in double OT. But that I was so fearful that it wasn't going to happen just based on that display of goaltender as a youngster. I mean, he was just starting.
Did you? That was his statement. I remember Mark Messier saying, "Wow, is this kid going to be good?" Kid, that was 21 years ago. Mark saw it right away. And you just never know it. A kid that young, we've seen flashes of greatness early from certain goaltenders. But to be able to do what he's done over the last, 23, 24 years is phenomenal.
We knew how Patrick Waugh could get in your head.
Oh, he did. I mean, we were New York Islanders playing against the Montreal Canadiens. They won the cup that year. And I can remember looking down the ice 200 feet away. I was with the Islanders in my stupid-looking helmet with my little tiny pads thinking, like, I can't make a mistake. And I think in that series...
But he was cocky. He had that swagger to him, right? Well, Marty backed different?
He backed it up, though. I mean, I remember that series. I think his goals against that series was 1.3. I mean, I haven't had a goals against a 1.3 when I played with the Holy Redeemer Flyers. Mm-hmm. Like, no chance. I don't have a chance.
They both had it. They both had that swagger, that you're not beating me tonight. It's part of greatness.
Marty seemed to have more fun, though.
Yeah, he was probably more a player's guy, and you know, a lot of players that played with him should thank him because he had players' careers last longer.
Yeah.
Ken Danico is a great example. I mean, this guy, honestly, he's got new skates on. Take them out of the box, Kenny. Like, he couldn't skate.
The one thing.
But Marty could handle the puck. So any dump-ins, he's like another defenseman.
I would tend to think that the scrutiny that fell upon Patrick Roy in Montreal and the scrutiny that Marty endured in New Jersey, night and day. And I don't know whether or not that enjoyment would have been as noticeable if they reversed teams in their career that you're talking about.
Well, the other element, too, by playing with the New Jersey Devils, and they play a certain way, the organization is run a certain way. By playing in that organization, by staying in that organization, it enabled him to have the numbers that he has. You know, they were a group that played the 05.
Yes.
No forechecking here, boys. Bobby Carpenter was a 50-goal scorer, and they turned him into a checking center. And that style of insulating the neutral zone, playing the trap, for Marty, it allowed shutouts, it allowed wins, it allowed that defensive responsibility.
It allowed 75 games a year as well.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons, you know, you look at, you know, him being the greatest, and that would probably, it would have happened, I guess, in other spots, but it happened a lot quicker and a lot more effective in New Jersey, playing the way that they played. You know, the other thing that I love is, you know, you look at some of the great pictures that we're showing here, not this stop, drop, and block garbage that we see now from goaltenders. He actually had some instinct, a two-pad stack. I don't know what that was, but, you know, there was some instinct to his game. And that, you know, when I look at the way we teach kids today, why do we not teach them the way that guy plays? Because there's nobody that's played better than that guy. And, you know, even you look at the Central Scouting just came out with their list of rated goaltenders and players. How many of those goaltenders are under 6 feet? I think the list had two goaltenders out of, you know, all of the goaltenders around the world.
How many teams want a goalie 6 feet or under?
Everybody. Nobody.
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 Nobody. They're all now 6'3", 6'4", with the agility now of a 5'11 goalie. A Glenn Healy at 5'9".
Getting set to take you to St. Louis for the retirement announcement of Martin Brodeur. You're right about it's the end of an era for a style. Like, he was the last one.
Yeah, and his ability to handle the puck. I have not played against a goaltender or against another team where we spent more time talking about keep it away from Marty, keep it away from the goalie. Think about that for a sec.
Send you to St. Louis. Chris Kerber is the Blues radio play-by-play voice. He will introduce this press conference.
I'm Chris Kerber, the Blues radio broadcaster. Thanks to everybody that has come in from out of town and all over Canada, frankly, all over the world. We want to also make sure that we welcome everybody watching in on Sportsnet, RDS, the NHL Network, and, of course, also listening live on our flagship station, KMOX Radio, here in St. Louis. It's not every day that you once again get to welcome a Hall of Famer to the organization, and yet at the same time, when you look to who's on the stage here, you realize, well, maybe in this organization it happens a little bit more than some. Here up on the stage, we've got Al MacInnis, Bernie Federko, Brett Hall, all members of the St. Louis Blues organization. Of course, Martin Brodeur, and then the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager, Doug Armstrong. You put into perspective kind of what the St. Louis Blues have sitting up here. You have Bernie Federko, who was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2002. 1,000 games played in the National Hockey League, 1,130 points. Brett Hall in 2009, 1,269 games played, 1,391 points, 741 goals. And then, of course, Al MacInnis, a defenseman with one heck of a shot, 1,416 games played, 1,274 points. Doug Armstrong finally figured it out from an alumni standpoint. We needed somebody to stop these guys. And he's managed to pull this off. So, fellas, the way I look at it, 28,928 saves for Martin Brodeur is going to make scoring in the alumni games a little more difficult for you guys. But it really is a special day here for the St. Louis Blues. We had a chance to talk with Marty yesterday. And the one thing that he now knows by taking an office job is that he's going to have a chance to finally get his daughter Annabelle to the top of the arch, which is something she wants to see. So, Marty, apparently you're going to be able to do that during lunch breaks based on the conversation we've had with Doug Armstrong. So without further ado, let me bring up Doug Armstrong. He's the president of hockey operations for the St. Louis Blues and the Blues general manager.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank everyone for coming today. Obviously, we're here to congratulate Marty on a fabulous career and wish you nothing but the best moving forward. Marty's agreed to join our organization as the senior advisor to the general manager. He's going to travel with our team on a daily basis. He's going to interact with our players and our coaches. Our goals are very simple here in St. Louis with this team. It's to prepare and be competitive to win a Stanley Cup and ultimately win a Stanley Cup. When I look up here and you see the number of Stanley Cups on this stage, all these people we can tap into as we learn and we move forward. So we're very excited to have Marty join our organization in a different capacity. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Marty for some brief comments.
Well, welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Also, I want to take the opportunity to thank everybody that that sent me messages in the last 48 hours. A lot of people respond back to you guys, but there was a reason for it. But all my friends, all the ex-teammates and present teammates, I really appreciate the kind words. This is a great day for me. I'm excited to start a new chapter in my hockey career. You know, this is something I've been thinking about for a long time, and this is a great opportunity that the St. Louis Blues organization, you know, Todd Stillman and Doug Armstrong, that are giving me and trusting me into doing. In the same token, this is going to be something that is going to be as close as a hockey player. I'll be able to be involved with the hockey operation and then being close with the guys and the coaches and the managers. So this is going to be a great challenge for me. Knowing you want to hear about my career a little bit. You know, this it was a good decision for me to make. It's been something that, you know, throughout the year, you know, July 1st came and didn't get really many opportunities. I was a little selective on the teams that I wanted to play for. And, you know, time went by and I was really thinking about retirement. You know, came November. Like for me was, you know, I wanted to play, but I knew the opportunity would have been a little harder. And finally I got a phone call. One of the teams that were on top of my list was the St. Louis Blues. And again, I jumped in right away, had a blast. For the month and a half I was here, was treated with as much respect as anybody else, and they really took me in and their family. And for me, that meant a lot. And when the goalie's situation got healthy, and I think everybody has to understand that there was no promises from the organization towards me. You know, they have two solid goaltender, and so for me to come in and help them out was a great opportunity for me to get back in the game and see if I still like it and still I still can play the game. And both questions were answered. You know, I know I can play, and I know I still can have fun with this game. And you know, and for me, just the fact that they got healthy was harder for me to stay around. You know, I'm a competitive guy. It was hard to stay on the sideline, and that's why, you know, I decided to take my you know, and take my retirement. So anyway, thank you for being here. Yeah, I'd love to answer some questions if anybody had questions. I'm sure there's a couple of New Jersey questions will be out there.
There's we have two people with microphones, so raise your hand and we'll get you microphones if you have questions, please.
Marty, when you took the leave of absence, and obviously you had already been contemplating retirement before then, what made your mind up that now is the time to retire?
Well, just because of the goalie situation that, you know, we had conversation, you know, I think with Army and I, we had a lot of discussion about, you know, what was going to happen in the future, and they were going to go with the two goalies, and they wanted me to be around, and they welcomed me to stay around. And, you know, at one point I just felt in the way a little bit, you know, like I was making fun of these, you know, I was just making fun to me, actually, of saying it was almost dangerous for me in practice. I did not run over by the line rushes. I was just in the way as a third goalie. So, yeah, and again, that's what kind of made me say, well, let's take a step back. Let's move away from the game a little bit. And, you know, they were kindly, you know, they gave me that space. And, you know, I talked to my family with my wife and, you know, my mom and all the people around me. And You know, we came to that conclusion. This is, you know, this is a great opportunity to have to start something new, and I'm really excited.
Marty, you said when you got here that you weren't ready to quit because you wanted closure. You wanted to find closure for your career. Do you feel like you found that here in St. Louis?
You know what? The thing about hockey for me, it's, you know, I'm really competitive, but I love to have fun. And I'm leaving the game with a big smile on my face. You know, and I don't think if I would have done that last year, it would have been the case.
Martin, pour les amateurs, évidemment, au Québec, est-ce que tu pourrais nous dire un peu tes états d'âme en français sur cette journée aujourd'hui? Quand on a une carrière comme la tienne, on se retire. T'sais, je disais à des collègues, c'est le Wayne Gretzky des gardiens de but qui se retire aujourd'hui. Est-ce que tu peux nous parler un peu de tes états d'âme face à tout ce que tu vis présentement?
Ah, ben c'est une belle journée. Je pense que pour moi, je me fais ma carrière comme joueur de hockey, mais en même temps... immédiatement, je continue dans une autre allée, encore dans le hockey, dans quelque chose que j'adore. Fait que pour moi, c'est pas quelque chose que je me sens triste, rien. J'ai joué longtemps, plus longtemps que même peut-être le monde aurait aimé que j'aurais joué. Mais j'ai adoré la ride que j'ai eue dans la Ligue nationale, puis dans mon hockey junior, puis partout. Puis c'est terminé, c'est plate un petit peu, mais je tourne la page à quelque chose d'autre que je suis vraiment excité à commencer.
You're listening to live coverage of the Mark Hamburger retirement announcement from St. Louis.
Marty, over here, two-parter. First of all, what do you hope to achieve in your position as far as moving your hockey career, post-hockey career forward in the Blues organization? And second to that, do you have a sense of what time frame you wish to commit, knowing that your former GM in New Jersey has already made it clear that there's a place for you whenever you choose to, should you choose to go?
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, it's all about learning. You know, I think I've been on the player side for so long, and I know that side pretty well. But, you know, the management part is something that I'm going to learn, and I'm excited to have, you know, solid people around this organization that have been around, you know, the management part for a long time. And, you know, having Ken Hitchcock as a coach that I know real well, so... I think the line of communication with the people is going to be great, and I think it's for me, it's a valuable thing to do in my first year outside of hockey to really try to flourish and see if I'm going to like this. And the second part, you know, I'm committed to stay here through the end of the season, hopefully as long as we can, that's for sure. And there's no commitment one way or the other that I'll go back to New Jersey or stay in St. Louis. I just want to make sure I enjoy what I'm going to do, and I'll make a decision when it's time.
Salut, Martin. Justement, tu viens d'en parler un peu, donc tu vas terminer la saison avec les Blues, on verra par la suite, mais dans ton après-carrière, est-ce que tu as déjà une bonne idée de qu'est-ce que tu aimerais faire avec une équipe quelconque?
Ben pour moi, écoute, je pense que c'est l'opportunité que j'ai aujourd'hui, c'est vraiment de toucher à tout. Je vais toucher un peu aux entraîneurs, je vais toucher un petit peu à comment que les gérants généraux travaillent, les head scouts, le monde du dépistage. Fait que, tu sais, je vais être capable de toucher à beaucoup de choses que j'aurais peut-être pas touché si j'aurais été ailleurs. Fait que pour moi, ça a mis beaucoup de penchant pour la raison que je suis resté ici.
Can I go with just a last one? Est-ce que les derniers jours, comment ils ont été pour toi? Parce que, évidemment, tu avais quitté le New Jersey l'an dernier. Maintenant, tu as décidé de prendre ta retraite comme gardien de but dans la Ligue nationale après tant d'années. Comment ça s'est passé?
Écoute, ça a été, ça a pas été facile, mais c'est sûr que quand t'es en Floride, tu y penses un peu moins.
As Martin Brodeur answers a couple of questions in French, I want to give you a heads up that following this news conference, Elliot Friedman of the NHL and Sportsnet and Rogers is in St. Louis and will have a one-on-one with the future Hall of Famer Martin Brodeur, who officially announces his retirement.
Marty, what is your role being as the senior advisor? How do you envision yourself working with the team?
Well. So for me, you know, I think it's, you know, I want to make sure I help the team. You know, I think what I did when I came in about a month and a half ago is I wanted to be a leader on the team. And it's hard to do when you're a brand new guy. And I think all the players were really open about, not just the players, even the coaches, about my input. So, you know, I felt right away that it was valued in the locker room. And I don't think it'll be no different as a job. For sure, I'm not dressing. I ain't taking shots in the head anymore. That's the positive of it. But, you know, I'm here to help. I'm here to learn. And I'm excited about it.
Marty, even a week and a half ago, there was a sentiment within the organization that if you decided not to play, you might go back to New Jersey because of your ties. Why St. Louis? I think everyone would have understood if you went back to New Jersey. Why do you want to stay here?
Well, I think for me, it's a decision that I came here. Again, like I didn't know what to expect when I came here. And again, I see this organization going a long way. They're an exciting team to watch. They're extremely talented. And, you know, I was happy to be part of it. And so whenever they gave me that opportunity, you know, I had conversation with Lou. And for anybody that think that me and Lou are not on the same page, you know, everybody's wrong because, you know, we've stayed in contact before I signed to St. Louis, during when I was playing, and while I was hanging out in Florida. You know, so that conversation, and he agreed with me that this was probably the best opportunity. It's something that he was not able to give me at this time. And you know, I'm really excited to be here and doing that, and we'll see where that brings that.
Just out of curiosity, during that leave of absence, was there any contemplating going to a different team and trying to further your career as a player?
You know, actually, you know, I've played 21 years in one organization and a month and a half somewhere else, and I didn't want to start moving around. So it's something that I didn't really look at interests outside of what the St. Louis Blues offered me. And so for me, it was not really a question to go somewhere else. You know, like I said, I'm leaving the game really, really happy. I had a blast here in St. Louis. And I didn't want that experience to be overshadowed because I made a different move. And, you know, being in the same situation somewhere else didn't really attract me that much.
Marty, a lot of people looked at that number 700, and I'm sure you did too. Just your thoughts on coming up just a bit short, but still an illustrious career.
Yeah, 690, no one, it's not too bad. you know, I think it would have been nice. It would have been nice to be at 700, but again, you know, it is what it is. You know, I wish I could have played more games. It's all these lockouts. I got killed on it. All right, thank you, guys.
You've been watching and listening to live coverage of Martin Brodeur's retirement announcement.
We do a photo op. In all fairness, I don't know why postseason wins don't always count towards stats. So it's really 804 career wins. So you went right past 700, all right? We got that there. We'll be breaking off for some one-on-ones. Thanks again for coming out, everybody. I know we have some of the
Elliot Friedman will be joined by Martin Brodeur in a couple of moments, but just a couple of takeaways from that news conference. Didn't mention the New Jersey Devils in the prepared statement, but made a point near the end of the Q&A to say that he and Lou are on the same page. Which side's closer to the truth? Nick?
Well, the only thing I got out of that was Lou couldn't offer me what I got offered here. So apparently the impression that we have is that this is what he wanted. He wanted to either have a special advisor role slash closest to an assistant general manager.
That's not what he wanted. No way. He wants to still play.
Well, okay. Outside, but he's not playing.
And if he had a choice, it would be to go to New Jersey and do the same thing in New Jersey. That's where his roots are for two decades. The fact it's not available to him, the fact he couldn't play when he wanted to play one more year in New Jersey, that tells me spades about that relationship. It may be okay and, you know, it's not irreparable, but there's a little bit of a slight there, I would think.
I would think there'd be a big one, yeah. A big one. And with all due respect, to not mention the New Jersey Devils or
anybody
in what, yeah. Right? Not to mention it in the first, what, 5-7 minutes, not to thank them, not even one thank you to New Jersey or Lou Lamoriello
or Scott Stevens or Scott Niedermeyer
tells you everything you
one
need to know.
One coach I kind of liked
about that relationship.
You know,
I'm disappointed. I am disappointed.
The New Jersey Devils and Lou Lamoriello, he runs things like it's Providence College. So you come in as a freshman, you play, you become eventually a sophomore and then a junior, and then you become a senior. And when you're a senior, you graduate. And when he lets you graduate, you're gone. And that's the way it worked for almost all of the New Jersey players. Ken Danico, all the greats, the ones that are hanging in the rafters. And when it came time for Martin Brodeur to be a senior and to hand the reins over to a freshman, they did. And that hurts as a player because, you know, you think about that franchise. They were Mickey Mouse, to take a phrase from a great player who played against them. They were a laughable organization. And I think the moment he stepped in between the pipes and took over from Chris Terreri, that organization became legit, dangerous, and arguably was a dynasty through the years that he was there.
Lou Lamoriello went on record saying that he believes that Marty will be back in a very short period of time.
Marty says, I'll make a decision when it's time.
Did you get the sense from that press conference that that's going to happen anytime soon?
No.
Because I sure didn't. And it's abundantly clear that as of today, Marty is more loyal to St. Louis than he is to New Jersey. Today.
Yeah, and I think when he starts working in his second career, he's going to find a radical change as to how the organization is run. He's going to be in meetings where they're going to be really critical of players and critical of contracts. And
secrets, Heels, and the way you conduct and their thought process. And are we under the impression that Marty's now going to put in this time day after day and then just at the end of the year say, see ya, I'm going? Or is he the type of guy to get more loyal to the St. Louis Blues? And this will go from a short term to a long-term thing. I think he's starting something to see where it grows. I don't think he's doing this so he can say, hey, let me experience something for the next 36 games and then go to New Jersey.
He's gonna have a lot more fun working with Doug Armstrong than he would with Lou Lamoriello.
I don't see the benefit of that.
I've already heard that coming out of Martin Brodeur in little bits and pieces, that he didn't realize that playing in the National Hockey League was that much fun. Not only playing, but on the plane, in the dressing room,
you
around
have no
the
worries.
Rink.
We've lived it. You get on the plane, and stewardess knows exactly what you drink, what you eat. They have it there for you. Someone's there to pick up your bags. The bus is there on time. It's a great and wonderful
watching
life.
That was your biggest fear realized today in what I heard from you yesterday, Nick, was disappointment that it wasn't going to be the New Jersey Devil logo behind him when he made the announcement. Yeah.
Well, that was an impressive set. That was
with the gold.
They spent a lot of time dressing that up.
And not having Lou Lamoriello beside him when he made his announcement. And then to take it a step further, the St. Louis Blues were celebrating this Martin Brodeur era. And that's their right. It's in their barn.
He's dropping the puck tonight.
They've got their Hall of Famers up there. He's retiring you know as a St. Louis Blues.
The best touch by far, they brought an actual net. Because we forgot he was a goalie, right? So that's a nice touch.
Define era for me, Darren. Define era.
Did you not get that sense that if you didn't know any better, if you're 10 years old right now and just becoming a fan of hockey, you would have thought he's a career St. Louis Blue today, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I
half a dozen games he started. Yeah. Half a dozen games. And I am disappointed because the only logo when he announced his retirement should have been New Jersey. Now, picture a hardcore New Jersey Devil fan right now who stood behind this guy for 22 years watching this today and knowing that he's going to go drop a puck. The first puck that he should drop shouldn't be in New Jersey. How does he feel?
Yeah, they got a lot of splaining to do about that relationship. You can tell me everything's fine. It's not fine. There's some work that has to be done. And maybe the damage was done when you didn't offer him a contract and you said to that senior, you've graduated now, move on, go somewhere else. And July 1 came and went, and you weren't going back to that home that you had been with for two decades.
Do you think Marty has some responsibility in all this, though?
Yeah, I think it, for sure. I mean, as players, most of us, to a man, retire with someone else telling us that we're done.
And that's not easy.
No. I mean, Wayne Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky maybe decided on his own that he was going to go. I got my news that I was going to go when I was bought out July 1, you know, and I thought, wow, a Saturday and there's a courier here. I wonder what this could be. You know, Nick, it ended in a different way for you. It ends in a different way for all of us, but we rarely get to decide on our own. And even in this case, as much as Marty says it's time, it really was the decision of the organization to go forward with two other goaltenders that are better than Marty right now.
Well, I just want to take a step back. This guy won almost 700 games, 125 shutouts, Stanley Cups, Calder Trophy, Veznas. Yet we're kind of overcome with the side story, in a sense.
Yeah, because we really should be just celebrating his career. We
but
should.
It should be wrapped with a bow. That's the problem, mm-hmm. Okay? We've got a great present that Marty's given all of the hockey world for 22 years, and it should be wrapped up in a nice package with a bow on top.
And a New Jersey Devil tag.
And that's not happening here, and that is the biggest question why. I will say this for you, Gene Melnyk, okay? He made it a top priority with Daniel Alfredson because he acknowledged it was that important for the organization that their signature guy over their short modern history was Daniel Alfredson. And he convinced him, okay? He convinced him. He made it a top priority.
And he didn't want to.
Okay?
He didn't want to.
But it was the right thing to do, and good on Eugene. Where did that break down in New Jersey, either from ownership or from Lou? Maybe Marty just needed to be stroked a little more. Maybe Lou needed to jump on a plane and say, Marty, I'm taking you back. We're going to do this right, and I will send you back to St. Louis for the rest of the year with my blessing, no problem. But this has to happen in New Jersey.
Yeah, a couple of phone calls doesn't do that.
No. And you make a good point about Eugene, because I'm sure he looked at the Alfredson situation and said, I put $50 million in your jeans. I mean, I took care of you for a long time. Yeah, the last part of your contract, you know, it wasn't much money. But guess what? The first part of that contract wasn't back-end diving. I was overpaying you. And he made a point of saying, I'm going to suck it up. You left the organization. You went to another place. But I'm going to make it right. And it has to happen in New Jersey. Because you're right. I can recall the very first game that I played against Martin Brodeur, and it was this young kid and had no idea who he was. And he came out to play the puck behind the net. He gave it away and he got pulled for making the mistake. And I thought, well, that guy is a lousy puck handler. I don't want to do that in this league, kid. Okay. Oops. Was I wrong? Because for years he was the best in the game. We changed rules in our game based on Martin Brodeur.
He changed a little bit, went to some bigger equipment later.
Marginally, though.
Marginally. He wore the same chest pad, arm pad combination for the longest time from his junior days. Like his style remained very consistent from when he broke into the league. The way he played the puck, you know, the Marty Turco flip your hand over that everybody uses now. Brodeur never went to that. Arguably best puck handler ever. Stayed with that. A real traditionalist in every sense of the word when it came to the position.
Yeah, and he was part of goaltenders kind of rewriting the way we wore equipment because it was that size-specific equipment that Marty wore. He didn't wear the 38-inch pads. He could have. He didn't wear the extra-large Garth Snow shoulder pads. Probably could have. And, you know, to take it back to when we redid those rules in the late 90s, you know, it was Patrick Roy, it was Marty Brodeur, it was John Van Beesbrouck, myself. We all met at the league office to talk about, okay, how are we going to make equipment a little bit more reasonable? And they asked each one of us to bring our gear in, and they were going to look at our gear, measure it, and then make appropriate changes moving forward. Well, no one brought their gear in but Mr. Dum Dum right here. I brought mine in. And
the tan pads. So
nobody else did?
No.
Just you?
Just me. And they were ripping it to shreds. Like, look at the sweater. And I had the pads with Velcro on them. So if you undid the Velcro, boom, you know, there you go. Now you got an 18-inch pad. But it changed from that moment. And they went to all the trainers and said, how do the goalies cheat? And they had the list of all the stuff where we would cheat.
But Brodeur didn't seem to cheat.
Never did. And that's, you know, I mean, such a testament to the skill level he had. He didn't need, I had to cheat. I wasn't good enough. He didn't need to. And he did it for a long period of time. You know, you tend to fall off as a goaltender because you've got to be the guy every night. Your mistakes always end up on the score clock. Just never happened for him till the very end.
His style, he seemed to be the guy that could read a release as good as anybody just because of the way he played. He wasn't a blocker, right?
I don't know, Heels, you tell me, but just a real educated guesser. Like when you talk about guys, goalies that give and then take it away because they can crawl into the shooter's mind. They can lure you into something and then take it away. The guys that come to my mind in my era were Marty, of course, Dominic Hasek, Curtis Joseph.
Everything was predetermined, though. Like, there's no just by chance I made this save. Like, Dominator always knew. Put my pad here, put my glove here, put my hand over here. You know, I've got the horizontal angle and the vertical angle covered. But you're right. I'm those years that we played the Devils in the playoffs when we were at the Rangers, we didn't have a goalie coach. So it would be Mike Richter and I that would look at tape of goaltenders and say, okay, Marty Brodeur, how are we going to break this guy down to find a weakness in his game?
Oh,
and
so you would scout the
goalies?
Oh, yeah,
we would watch goal after goal, save after save, and at the end of the day, we'd hold up the sheet of paper with all his weaknesses. We don't have any.
Blank.
The only weakness we ever saw in his game was the wraparound on the one side, the Mateau goal, the Adams-Grave goal the next year. But other than that, there was nothing in his game where it was a flaw. And we all had flaws. I mean, I could tell you what my weakness was.
Send you back to St. Louis. Elliot Friedman standing by with the now retired Martin Brodeur.
Thank you, Darren. And on the set, we've got Glenn Healy and Nick Kiprios reminiscing about 94 and other battles between the Devils and Rangers. Any specific memories of them?
I'll try to forget about all that stuff.
Just today, you said before the season that you wanted another chance to get closure on your terms. Was everything you went through this year worth it for this day?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think... I'm able to leave the game and with a big smile on my face. Yeah, I had a blast. I spent a month and a half here. I was welcome. You know, I went in all in. You know, I came in and I said, you know what, you guys got me. Let's have fun with this. And they were great. You know, in a month and a half, I was able to get, you know, 5 starts, played in 7 games. Mm-hmm. Was part of the team and really enjoyed my time. And it's kind of, you know, it made my decision a lot easier to have a big smile on my face, that's for sure.
You, I was walking this morning, and you see these pictures. Thank you, Marty, here with the Blues jersey on, outside the Opera House, all around the building, and it just seems a little bit weird. Does it seem weird at all to you?
Well, a little bit. You know, my hockey career is, you know, it's all about New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You know, this is never going to go away. It's just, well, this is where I, you know, decided to finish my career. I mean, it could have been in New Jersey a couple of years ago, and it just happened now. You know, it's kind of weird for people. But again, I'm happy with it. It's okay.
That's the most important thing. The Blues said that you will travel for them for the rest of the season. What do you see as your role here with these guys?
Well, you know, I think what they're asking me to do, it's really kind of being a liaison between, you know, the general managers and the coaching staff through the players. And so I'll be really hands-on, you know, moving around, traveling. That's as close as, you know, as a hockey player you could get without strapping on the pads, you know. And so for me, I think it's kind of a nice transition. It's a great opportunity for me to learn that part of the business. You know, I always, you know, enjoyed it, you know, being with Lou for so many years. You know, I always admired what he was doing, but now I'm going to see a different facet, a different organization, a different way of doing that type of business. Mm-hmm. And it only could be helpful for my future if I decide to go that way.
Do you see yourself as a guy, if Brian Elliott or Jake Allen gets into the playoffs, whoever the starter is, if they have a rough start, like you going to them after that game and saying, okay, guys, this is how you handle it because I've been there before?
Well, you know, I think every goalies do their own ways, but I think that's how you build them to be ready for that moment. And, you know, I'll have some conversation with Jim Corsi and with the guys. Like, we get along real well. We had a blast by the time I was here. And again, you know, if there's anything I could see and help, you know, that's what I hear. I'm here to help.
All right. Is there any chance, if God forbid one of them gets hurt, you would don the pads again?
No, I don't think so.
It's done.
It's done. Mm-hmm. You know, most likely it's something that hopefully it won't happen, and mm-hmm. we won't have to make that decision, but my answer would probably be no. Okay.
Of all the things you went through, Martin, Is there one or two that stand out that you say, these were the things I enjoyed the most, these are the things I celebrated the most?
Well, you know what, like, just the success we had for so many years in New Jersey, you know, starting in 2000 all the way to 2003, you know, for me were my prime of my career. You know, I was able to win the Stanley Cup in 2000, lost the Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals to Colorado, won a gold medal for my country in 2002, and win another Stanley Cup in 2003. So, I mean, that's a, you know, four-year stretch. Pretty good. So that's probably one of the stretches I'm most proud of.
And is there anybody in particular you think of today?
Well, my dad. You know, I think when you you spend all your youth and the support, and when I started my professional career, he's really the one who guided me to help me to be the person that I am. And now that I'm retiring, it would have been fun for him to be around. But I'm sure he's watching from up there.
I understand. Just a final comment from you. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. You know, this is new to me. And I'm going to enjoy my retirement. You know, I'm taking a job. It's not going to be a crazy demanding job, but I want to learn. I want to see if I'm able to eventually be able to kind of put a team together and see if I could do it that way. You know, a lot of players are doing it, and it'll be fun for me to try to imagine a team eventually.
Thank you very much, Martin. Félicitations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Back to the studio.
Elliot, thank you very much. Two goals for Martin Brodeur. Did you ever come close, Glenn?
Not even close. I don't know if I could shoot the puck all the way down the ice.
I was thinking about you during the skills competition.
I did
on
try
Saturday.
One time, though.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Playing against the Calgary Flames. We had a one-goal lead. Went out. Net empty. Tried to go up the middle over Joe Nieuwendyk's head. He batted the puck down and went in the net. And the only thing that saved me was it was a high stick. So it was over his shoulders. But not a chance. Not like this
did
guy.
I remember those sticks that you used. They were like logs. It was more about how hard you could slash someone in the shins or the ankles, opposed to shooting a puck.
Well, it did have a different than your sticks. It had a blade on it because you didn't really need a blade for yours. Just needed to go hit somebody.
There
and,
it is. 12:02.
You know, we talked about this
shot.
You, anytime you played him, you had to be so specific as to where you put the puck on dump-ins. So it was always to his right because he'd come out of the net and then he'd have to play the puck so he'd have his back to the ice, right? Left-hand shot. If anything to his left side where he could face the ice, you're in trouble.
Take it on his back.
Because it was over his head.
My most vivid memory is internationally, oddly enough, 2002 Salt Lake City when they finally won gold and his arms were up. But a memory of Martin Brodeur before we move on to the regular Hockey Central.
No, just the impact that he had in that 94 series, and Glenn touched on it, that it doesn't, we don't think, go to Game 7 without him, and just his stamp on being that next great goaltender. Just watching him, watching his mannerisms, his expressions, saying that I'm just not here to be another goalie. I'm here to one day be the best. You could actually feel it coming from him.
Best goalie in the game for me ever. You look at the numbers, you look at the stats, you look at what he accomplished. You look at what he accomplished in that 3-year period that he's talking about. And that to me says it all. But, you know, anytime we played him, he never seemed to change. He always looked the same in the net.
Same
always,
mask.
Same mask, same pads. And consistent. And, you know, I play with a lot of goalies that were like that. Curtis Joseph was like that. You know, I'd look at the schedule and say, okay, Cujo's going to be tired here. I better be ready. No, he
put I heard Brent Smith game. Picked all your starts.
Yeah, very few of them. Thanks, Smitty. But he never changed. And, you know, we played against him a number of times. That Ranger-Devils rivalry was big. It was 8 kilometers or 8 miles from Manhattan over to New Jersey. You know, the New Jersey fans were Ranger fans that couldn't get tickets. Let's call it what it was. They weren't Devil fans. Mm-hmm. And so there was this inherent jealousy between the Rangers and the Devils. And every time we played, he scared me. Because no matter what we did, he could have an answer for us. And he could win the game.
People question who's going to break Wayne Gretzky's records. Who's going to break Marty's? Will we ever see a goaltender put those type of numbers up ever again? Not a chance.
Every goaltender that plays today at 40 is going to get hip replacement. Let's
not
face
a
it.
Chance.
I mean, they're down on every shot.
And he said it. What would the numbers have been if the league didn't shut down. How many, what do you have, a dozen 70-plus season starts? 70. That's not happening.
Well, now we're in an era where you don't play them back-to-back. Right? Yeah.
That's not happening
The analytics
anymore.
Say don't play them back-to-back. Hello? Get with the program. The guy's good enough to play. You play him back-to-back. You play guys who give you their best chance to win. You don't go to some analytic and come up with an answer.
I've got a surprise for you in a little bit. I'm going to save it because I just you're,
I already know what it is. It's you're going to give me a little website story?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I just want to leave it as this. The best of all time at anything, whether you're running a car dealership, television production, whatever.
Host.
You change the way the job is done.
Kipper does that with words. He changes words.
I make it
he
up.
He makes new words up.
We so go along.
He's almost like an English study.
He's studied me. He knows.
People emulate the way you do it because you're the best at that job. Martin Brodeur, statistically, is the best of all time. And nobody can do what he does or did. Nobody can play or do the job the way he did it.
I remember sitting on a plane one time, and Wayne Gretzky was there. We were playing together, and I said to him, okay, I got to ask you. You get the puck behind the net, because we used to play Wayne, and it would be, all right, he gets the puck behind the net, two guys go to him, 4 points. All right, next game. Gets the puck behind the net, only one guy goes to him, 4 points. Okay, that didn't work either. Okay, gets the puck behind the net, no one go to him, 4 points. Like, there was no figuring this guy out. And I asked him one time, you get the puck behind the net, and you got, you know, sticks and gloves and defensemen. And we'd have all five guys almost in the crease. And we'd say to him, what do you see when you look front of the net? Oh, I just see Curry's stick. That's all I see. All that collection of noise and all he sees is his player's stick who's going to get him, what, 90 goals? Mm-hmm. I think it's the same with Marty. They see the game at just a different pace and a different speed. And Nick, you mentioned it. Puck comes off a player's stick. He's there as the puck's getting to him. He's, greatness is the game just happens at
the,
a different
the vision
speed.
The vision that Gretzky had to predict the immediate future on the ice, Marty had as a goaltender.
Darren Pang coming up in a couple of minutes time from St. Louis. Darren Pang from Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet. Where do you see Marty Brodeur in 5 years?
If Lou Lamoriello is not with the New Jersey Devils, I don't see Marty Brodeur with the New Jersey Devils. But I think Marty's going to realize pretty quick that when you step into the dark side of management, it's a lot of work. You can't make a mistake. We've seen it in Toronto. Make one mistake with a player, you're in big trouble. So you have to really do your due diligence. And it can't be just go hang around with the guys and have a coffee and the bagels are going to get delivered. He's going to have to work because this is such a compete business. And so whether he wants to do that with the money he has in his jeans, because it is work, we'll see. But he's a bright guy. He knows the game. He knows players. And he knows how an organization should run because the Devils ran the organization almost like a compound for many, many years. I mean, not many guys have hand signals for when Lou is in the building because they're that kind of afraid. Lou was one of those guys, you know, coaches would do the bus sweep after, you know, to kind of, or before to make sure there's no beer on the bus. Lou would do the bus sweep after, and he knew what seat every player sat in, so it'd be like, okay, he had three beers, he had two beers, oh, he had four. That was Lou. Lou ran it like a tight ship, so he understands how
mention,
an organization.
Not to mention
run.
How to tape the shin pads.
That's right, and no mustache. So we'll see if he wants to dig in and do the work.
Well,
he will succeed.
Elliot got it out of him. Build a team. That's what he said. That's what he told Elliot. So, question is it St. Louis or is it New Jersey? He's building in 5 years.
You think Lou's back in New Jersey?
Lou's 70.
The conversation is happening all the time. Is he back with a nutcase owner? That's a bad combination.
I don't know the owner, so I can't attest to that.
Lou's getting up there in age. Who's his heir apparent? We would have thought it would have been Marty. It should have been a given. Now, today, we're not so sure.
I find it ironic.
Tomorrow remains to be seen.
There has to be a transition plan in New Jersey, though. And Lou, he really has a lot of control and loves a lot of control. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you have to have a succession plan. And that succession plan, maybe it's Adam Oates, but it's going to be a Hall of Famer. Maybe it's Martin Brodeur.
How many years did we say, Glenn, that there had to be a succession plan with the goaltending? Martin Brodeur can't play forever. And when that time came, it didn't end well.
No.
So who's to say it's going to end well with Lou?
No, and any of the guys that were backup for Marty, it didn't end well for them either. Go there and play zero amount of hockey. But it should be something. I know they've had the conversation. I know they're thinking about it because it has to happen. Kip, you mentioned Lou's age. It's hard miles covering a lot of hockey, watching a lot of players play, because the only way to build your teams through the draft, the only way to build through the draft is to go watch these guys and make assessments.
The irony that Martin Brodeur had reached the end of the road with the New Jersey Devils. He was too old. Corey Schneider's there. And then you look at New Jersey's top two lines right now, and doing the math last night for Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, the top line average age is 34. The second line's average age is 33. So Marty's too old. He's reached the end of the line, but they've still got this old team that may rival the 20th anniversary club when they get together in March of their first Stanley Cup. Marty's now eligible to play in that alumni game if he's not busy with the St. Louis Blues alumni.
Yeah, they have done a terrible job of filling in the ranks and what had been their strength for so long. I mean, even to see Marty get drafted where he got drafted, you know, later part of the first round, you know, there were other goaltenders taken ahead of him, and he's clearly the best. But they are too old. And you know, the numbers that stand out to me, if you're going to look at analytics, once a forward gets to 30 years old, the numbers drastically drop off. And we may be seeing the best of it in Vancouver, where you see the Sedins that were so dominant for so long. Now their numbers are dropping off. That's not me making up. It's just that's the fact. And so when you put all your eggs in one basket with guys that are 38 years old and think that that's going to be your answer, you're wrong. And that's the reason they're a non-playoff team, and probably why Marty says, look, I'll stay with the St. Louis team. We have a chance of winning here because they are a good team. Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a list of Martin Brodeur's games played and all of his backups, every backup that was ever with him in New Jersey, and the number of games played. And would it be Chris Terreri that played the most?
Yeah, because that was the transition period, right? Chris was the starting goaltender. Marty kind of came in. He was the young guy. And you recall there was that playoff series against the Boston Bruins. Marty won the first round. They played Boston in the second round. And after game two, Chris Terreri won that series, and they went back to Marty again. And, you know, Chris is still there now, and he's that kind of – he was the voice of reason with Marty for many, many years. And you have to have that. Like, if you're a backup, you have to know one of your biggest goals, one of your biggest challenges is to make sure that starter is happy and not to say,
How tough was that job for backup goaltenders?
You know, I didn't find it that difficult because, you know, when I went from the Islanders where I was a starter to the Rangers, I knew I had a chance of winning a cup with the Rangers. I had a chance at the participation medal with the Islanders. So going there and taking that, you know, lesser role, I was one of about 14 of us that did that. Craig McTavish came in as the captain of the Oilers playing 18 minutes, and he played, 5 minutes with us, but took the biggest faceoff ever.
Eddie Olchuk was a top scorer.
Games at the end of practice, Kip, almost to a man. Everyone had played 600 games in the National Hockey League. We're not even getting on the ice. The only one who was lousy was Dick Todd.
I haven't heard Dick's name in a long time. I always heard that it was...
And then race to the buffet table.
Yeah.
It was hell being
just kidding,
Patrick
Dick.
Waugh's backup. Like, it was no fun.
Yeah. Well, Patrick used to pick the games he was going to play, right?
Guy,
I want this one, this one, this one. What time are we getting in here? 4? Give it to him. Those are tough games, you know, 4 and 5 nights, 3 and 4 nights, playing a tough team, back-to-back, get in late. You know, you're walking on the ice. Bah. You're just a sacrificial lamb. You know you're not winning.
Mark LaForest tells the stories about backing up Ron Hextall, and those could be challenging times.
Yeah. I had one starting goaltender. I won't name his name, but he'd get his pads and his gloves, and he'd say, all right, do you see a 5-hole? Is there any 5-hole? If I had said to him, oh, yeah, a big 5-hole there, done, crippled, not a chance, I would be...
You lied to him, Heels.
You're huge. I don't even see the net. Don't see the arena.
What are you saying, Heels? A goalie's a bit of a head case?
Yeah.
Shocking.
So you were a psychologist?
Shocking.
Oh, you do it all.
A sports psychologist.
The best way is to be a complete package to make sure that your team wins. You know, when they put Kip's name on the Stanley Cup and my name on the cup. They didn't put our stats.
I had to help Heels stay in shape in New York. Be like, practice is over. I'm thinking, where am I going to go have lunch? And he'll be like, come on, we're going on the Stairmaster. And I'm like, oh.
Is Corey Schneider
babysit Heels on the Stairmaster?
Panger's coming up in just a moment. But is Corey Schneider the right guy to take over for the New Jersey Devils and carry this mantle? Because there is a certain amount of pressure on him. Not as much now because the elephant's out of the room.
You could have Charlie Hodge come in and play there, and you're never going to carry that mantle.
Looked pretty good last night, mm-hmm. And he is a good goalie.
Yeah,
he is a good goalie.
The numbers that Marty has, you're not coming close to it. He's filling the spot until someone else takes over for him.
And this is a much different era for the New Jersey Devils and what they've gone through the last few years. And again, the CBA is a lot to blame in terms of Lou not having a grasp. And you mentioned this, how Lou's kind of left everything very late, including making the transition with goaltenders. There was nobody better, Heels, under the old system, when Lou would exercise his ability to hold on to you till age 31. And often people tell Marty, why did you stick around there so long and not maximize your potential? Marty left a lot of money on the table by remaining loyal to the New Jersey Devils and Lou. But Lou could keep those guys strapped and under market value better than anybody and squeeze the most out of them. But now we're at 25, and every free agent in the last few years now, he's scrambling July 1st. He's scrambling just to fill spots.
For years, it's been a tough time.
Marty was
the cap, right? He's my best player. I'm not paying you more than him. It must have killed Lou Lamoriello to sign Kovalchuk. Killed him. I mean, so much so that they had to find a way to get out of that salary. But, Marty, he stayed there. He played there. The team allowed him to get some of the trophies, awards, and the records. But it did affect a lot of other goaltenders. What would he have gotten in the free market if he decided in his prime? 2000,
why do you think he never left?
I think the system allowed him to have personal success. See, goaltenders and scorers, it's a little different for that level of player than just a regular guy like, say, Kipper on the third line. Because you measure yourself, how the team does, but you measure yourself with your own stats too. Team wins 4 in a row, but my goals against is 4.6. Okay, I got to get that down. Or my save percentage, I got to get that down. Team wins 4 in a row. You think of the pressure Phil Kessel's putting on himself right now. Yeah, the team's not winning, but he's also measuring himself based on the number of goals he scores.
And he was the one true guy, Marty Brodeur was the one true guy that stayed loyal to Lou. Scott Niedermayer didn't walk, he ran out of there.
Scott Gomez?
Okay.
Ran.
There's a long list. This was the one guy that stuck it through
with
New Jersey.
He retired because he had to.
Okay. He's the one guy.
That's fair.
Yeah. He's the one guy. And which makes it even more confusing to witness what we witnessed today in St. Louis going, again, why? Why did this happen when this was the one guy that stuck it right through?
Story will get out. Can't keep stories secret. For very long. Somebody
heard it from an insider, Glenn Healy.
And it will get out.
Martin Brodeur officially announcing his retirement, but as a member of the St. Louis Blues and surrounded by St. Louis Blues alumni in front of the St. Louis Blues logo, and did not mention the New Jersey Devils in his prepared statement. So there's a lot of conversation about what happened today and the relationship around the New Jersey Devils, Lou Lamoriello, and Martin Brodeur. When asked about whether or not he will return to the New Jersey Devil organization, as what Lou Lamoriello has strongly insinuated will happen, Martin Brodeur replied, "I'll make a decision when it's time." For now, Martin Brodeur is the senior advisor to the general manager and Doug Armstrong with the St. Louis Blues, and will spend the rest of this season in the St. Louis Blues management group and getting his feet wet, deciding what he wants to do for the rest of the season. 22 years in the National Hockey League, 691 victories, 125 shutouts, Glenn.
I don't think I had 125 shutout periods in my career in 16 years, let alone 125 shutouts. Mm-hmm. It's, the numbers are exceptional. Mm-hmm. He blew, and it must drive Patrick wah nuts, you know, because when he set those marks, he was pretty proud of what he'd accomplished, and Marty blew by them in a huge way real quick.
Let's bring in Darren Pang. Darren, who was Martin Brodeur's last start against?
The Colorado Avalanche and Patrick Waugh.
And what did he do in that
December
game?
December 29th. Just simply shut them out. He's got a shutout streak against Colorado now, his last two games of over 148 minutes. So nothing new to him. It's amazing to me. And Heels, you and I, we played in a different era and we had different styles, and you ended up playing longer. But some guys just seem to be shutout goaltenders. Some guys can shut the door just better than the other guy. They have that mental strength. I always managed to give up one late. Never in my life was I ever considered a shutout style of goaltender, but Marty's special in that regard. He knew how to close the door and finish off a game.
Banger, you have the Quebec Pee Wee short pads on. That's why. Do you remember that level of pad? Everyone wanted to have them. Well, you had no choice, yeah. Sir.
I was telling Marty that a little bit ago. My pads were 27 inches tall, Heels. But, you know, for a long time, he played with 32-inch pads. I mean, that is crazy. He went the longest time with the oldest set of shoulder pads, and it wasn't until a couple of years ago where he told his trainer in New Jersey, I want every single style of shoulder chest protectors that the goalies are wearing around the league. And he tried every single one of them out, and he ended up, actually, and he was wearing it till the last game that he played here in St. Louis. It was a Pecorine style of shoulder and chest protector. So, I mean, this guy was as reluctant as anybody to make a change and still was able to set the records that he set without, shall we say, cheating in the net like so many other goaltenders ended up doing.
Hey, Panger, give us a sense of the feeling in that room. Of course, we're celebrating an amazing career, the best in goaltending history. But it also feels awkward.
Like a white elephant in the room?
Exactly. Was there a sense in St. Louis as much as we're talking about it here?
I think you're probably talking about it a lot more, and just in talking to, you know, Kipper last night about it as well. I don't think anybody's hiding away from the New Jersey relationship. I mean, Marty has made it very clear that his conversations with Lou, with all his buddies that are there, I mean, he stays so close with everybody there. I mean, they're his friends. They're his best friends that are there. But I just think that the fact that he ended up, you know, as a player, came here fresh in the locker room with these players, Doug Armstrong laid out a plan for him. The plan wasn't vague, and it wasn't like, oh, come on over here and we'll see what you can do. I mean, Doug Armstrong said, here's what we want you to do. What do you think? And you know as well as I do, titles are handed around like free Bud Lights a lot of time. But when Doug Armstrong legitimately goes to Marty and says, this is what the plan is, and we're going to go to the American League, we're going to go here, you're going to listen to Dave Taylor, and you're going to listen to the Rob DeMaios and the Al McGinnises, and you're going to learn the business, hey, that's a pretty good way of starting your post-NHL hockey career if that's the area you want to get to. So
they wooed
him. Made a whole lot of sense.
And right.
Well, for sure. Yeah, no question. They made him feel real comfortable about it, knowing that he's going to learn the next phase. He didn't hide away from the fact that there's a good chance that New Jersey's right around the corner. No one's saying yes or no one's saying no. But for right now, he's close to these players. He likes what's going on here, and he's going to have some fun while he's doing it. That's typical Marty. He's going to have some fun and smile along the way, and he keeps everything so even-keeled that makes everything a real fun here for this organization as well.
I want your takeaway with Martin Brodeur. You've been around him at the rink now, on the plane, and the golf course.
Uh-huh.
What have you learned about Martin Brodeur that you didn't know before?
He won't give you any strokes.
I'm looking over to the right, and Marty's a sandbagger on the golf course. Big left-hander, hits the ball with a nice little fade. The one thing I learned with Marty on the golf course was he New Jersey'd me on the golf course. I've never seen a guy neutral zone trap another opponent on the golf course like Marty did. I mean, I was two up. I could have gone three up, or I could have kept it at two up. I get aggressive. I end up making a putt that goes real long. he taps his in, and he said, you couldn't just stay two up on me. Huh? You had to go a little bit more aggressive. And instead of being two up and being in firm control, I ended up only being one up. And our match got halved, by the way, because he's as intelligent on the golf course as he was in the crease. No goalie, and Heels, I think you would agree with me, no goalie managed his crease quite like Marty Brodeur managed his crease.
I would have eliminated you from the golf game just by the fact you have 27 clubs in your bag, 16 drivers and 14 putters. And
That's how many wins I had in the NHL. So I carry one club per every win I had as an NHL goalie.
You know, Panger, Heels just spoke a while ago about how hard Marty's going to have to work in management. Doesn't really sound like it's heading in that direction with the two of you.
Oh no, this is serious business.
Oh, okay, all right.
One thing I found just as Marty was here when Brian Elliott got hurt, everything he did. If there was a bad loss, as an example, there was a bad loss in Nashville, and the whole team was quite down about it. Doug Armstrong, Ken Hitchcock, they're in the lobby of the hotel. The whole team walks in, and you know what it's like, Heels. You know it's a quiet environment. Everybody's kind of down. Sometimes the St. Louis Blues have admitted to being too up, too down, and not enough of the even-keeled stuff. Well, there's Marty. He walks right over to those two sitting in the lobby of the hotel while they're down a little bit, and he perks them up a little bit. All the players see that. He just has that ability, in no matter what the situation is, to show calmness, to say everything's going to be okay, and I think that's why... You know, when Doug Armstrong has conversations with him, he can only take out all the credibility that he has and the personality that he has, and it can only be a benefit, even if it is for just this year for the St. Louis Blues.
Well, I know that your winning percentage in the noon hour management games is about to go down if Martin Brodeur participates. Thanks for doing this, Panger.
My pleasure. I'm still reveling in the fact that I smoked McLean last night, 3-0.
3-0, sweet. And to the point, presented by J.P. Weisers. There's Darren Pang. From St. Louis. Last night here, today.
Surprised Mac let him even speak. Normally when Mac does that to the point, you're making your point and he's yapping in the background. Come on! What, are you kidding me? Does he ever shut up?
Seriously.
Does he ever shut up?
No, he doesn't. No.
I think he sleeps.
Civility on this show.
I think he's quiet when he sleeps, but I can't confirm that.
If he's awake, he's talking. When we continue, we'll get to what happened last night in the NHL. A big win for the LA Kings. On a week where they send a veteran player to the minors. So we want to get Glenn Healy's opinion on what's happening with Mike Richards. And Jason Spezza makes his return to Ottawa tonight. He had one very interesting quote to Elliot Friedman in their sit-down conversation that aired on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey last night regarding the Stanley Cup run that they had to the finals against Anaheim before eventually losing. That and more. Plus, the Toronto Maple Leafs lost again but get a point. Still ended ugly. Hockey Central Noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, and the NHL Network in the United States.
Hockey Central at Noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Much deserved 1 hour on Martin Brodeur and his retirement. It's Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, simulcast on the Sportsnet Radio Television Networks. Darren Millard here in the studio with Nick Kypreos. And once a month, whether he likes it or not, Glenn Healy comes in. You just got to turn on your mic there.
Sorry.
There you go.
I'm glad Damian Cox isn't here.
What? So why does everybody pick on Damian?
He picks on us.
How?
The last time I was in, we talked about fresh, tired stats and how there was no... indicator that says the back-to-backs, the one team should win or should lose. And he asked me to present the fresh tired stats like I walk around Toronto with them in my pocket.
Were you in the dressing room when Damian and Ty went at it?
I split them up.
Oh, you did?
Oh, you got a
shirt like Richard Steele.
I split
them
up.
Stop the fight.
And Ty ripped the collar off my shirt. And Damian has yet to replace the shirt, so I'm very disappointed.
It's 1999, and you guys are still going back to that. Yep. NHL.com will now feature advanced stats.
Great.
Analytics. Yeah. So you'll be all over that, eh?
No, actually, truthfully, I think we are coming to an era and an age where statistically fans want more.
Yes.
And we kind of showcased some of the great stuff that they're going to do with tracking players with the chips they put in the sweater. And I had the tablet down between the benches.
It was so
and
cool.
It was incredible to see the interest, the coaching staff, the players, to look, to see what you could actually look at, what you could track, what you could statistically. Because Kip and I played when, you know, it was like seven older guys upstairs, and they'd be like, you know, is that Ovechkin on the edge? Is that 8 or 18? I can't see the number. And the stats were so wrong. And as a shot clock, if you went into Chicago, you know, the guy fell asleep with his finger on the button.
Those guys upstairs, were they old or drunk? Because I couldn't make it out from your impression.
Maybe a combination and of both.
As a fan,
now it's real. The stats could be real.
I used to have to wait until the Tuesday paper because the goals against average would be published once a week on Tuesday and the scoring leaders and all.
You love that, eh? You'd stare at it for hours. We'd stare at it for hours, too.
Nonstop. And now we're advancing it even more. Time for the Hockey Central 3 Stars. Tim and Sid apparently stole this music yesterday, but admitted their mistake and never do it again.
They loved it. It's now going to be as popular as the theme from Hockey Night in Canada.
I feel like I'm in Disneyland. I'm going to go on Soarin'. They had you on yesterday, and they never even asked you a hockey question.
Yeah, I was on for at least eight minutes.
They didn't even let you speak.
No, Doug wasn't on. I'm going with Jeff Carter. A couple of goals last night. The LA Kings bounce back and beat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-3. Tyler Toffoli returns to the lineup. Jonathan Quick was great. And, boy, did the LA Kings need that on a week in which they had to make the tough decision to send Mike Richards to the minors. So Jeff Carter is my star.
And you also want to announce that's the last time you're allowed to pick an LA King?
Are you putting that rule in?
I am putting that rule in.
All those wild card teams, I can see their motto this morning.
Yeah.
Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear.
You're right about that.
The LA Kings are coming.
Can Glenn Healy go next? Because I'm so excited about his star.
Okay.
I love when Glenn Healy, who your star is.
He was a star at the All-Star game because of what he gave to the fans, and he is a star right after the All-Star game, and it's Alexander Ovechkin.
Oh!
Thank you.
He'll say it because we did a Wiser point-counterpoint thing.
It's to the point.
Whatever.
Presented by J.P.
Yes,
Wiser.
That's it. And we debated whether or not Ovechkin was coachable or not, and I said yes, and you said...
Let's come clean here. There are certain topics, Nick, on point counterpoint, that
to
we maybe have to go out of our comfort zone and make up a side of a topic that we don't wholeheartedly, religiously believe in.
Okay.
And in that particular case, you couldn't come up with an argument the other way, so I took the bullet. Truth or not?
So you're telling me all along you thought he was coachable.
When you're 884th out of 886 players in plus minus.
Good on him. Good on him.
You're coachable.
Two goals last night coming off of that All-Star appearance when he.
On the Friday night?
When he struck out.
When he drank 100 drinks.
It's never a good idea to try to hit a puck out of the air when you see three of them.
I want to say something here. We have some fun with the way you deliver things sometimes.
Like, what am I, a pizza man?
No, no. But there, you just led him down a path, and then you squashed him. That may have been your finest moment. That was a prosecutor moment.
And he didn't even make up a
new word.
Thank
you very
much. That's rocket surgery. No, it's brain science.
No further questions, your Honor.
Who's your...
Here you go, Effley Bailey.
I don't know. I enjoyed Carter and Ovechkin. Do I even need one? Should we say Holtby? Shutout? Continues the magic with the Washington Capitals. They don't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon other than the playoffs. Good on Holtby. Young guy coming into his own now.
Can you give me your Corey Schneider impression? Well,
no, I can't. We had a close-up of Corey Schneider. I don't know if it made it to air.
And it didn't go to air.
It didn't go to air where he wiggled his eyes really fast.
Did you ever do any of that type of prep? Like his eyeballs went back and forth. As some kind of...
It was his pregame prep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was right before overtime.
Yeah. Visualizing.
I tried it. It hurt my eyes.
Yeah.
I used to put it on my Facebook. If you haven't seen it, go to my Facebook.
Your Facebook page.
I don't know. I just got a new Facebook page. I'm really excited. I don't know how it works. I don't know what it does. But you could see Corey Schneider's eyes shift like something I've never seen before.
Mike Richards goes to Manchester. This is a two-time Stanley Cup champion, Olympic champion, and he's in the minors before he's 30 years old.
You have to be able to skate in this game. If you can't skate in this game, then that freight for a salary is just not digestible.
But he can still skate. It's not a top six skate.
He is slow.
No, Heels, he can
get
check.
Out of the bubble you call the studio. Go to a game live. Heels. Sit down at ice level and
say, can't be,
he's fast, he's slow.
He can't be a top two centerman on the Stanley Cup championship team. I get that. But there has to be 15 teams he could play second or third line center and still contribute. Please,
LA Kings take some of the salary back, and they're allowed to take half. That's by the letter of the CBA if they choose. Then I would imagine that there would be team. Toronto would be a team. Why would they not want this level of experience to improve their core?
Well, there was conversation. I'll mention again. The Toronto Maple Leafs wanted to send Clarkson back instead of Dion Phaneuf. And the Clarkson trade obviously makes no sense for L.A.
The L.A. Kings are a team that they're not looking for players to play in April. They're looking for players to play in June. And the one thing that stood out to me when I watched him win the Stanley Cup last year, and I've said this before, when Alec Martinez scored that big goal to win them the cup, that game to me was one of the most exciting games that I have ever watched. It was end-to-end, usually in overtime or double overtime. The pace slows down. You get a little rest, then it picks up again. It never slowed down physically. The speed of the game was exceptional. And my thought process after watching that game was there are a lot of good players in the NHL. Now, they're in the NHL. They're really good. But not a lot of them could have played in that hockey game.
Did it remind you a lot of last night's game? The New Jersey Devils and the Toronto Maple Leafs and that 2-1 shootout? Result?
They have gone from uncoachable to unwatchable. You got a problem.
So I've never seen. Have you ever seen?
You guys are both a Toronto Maple Leaf alumni.
The tap shut down on an offense like that, where you sat there and said, "They're the best."
But they had more chances than New Jersey.
In the
they
right
had three
now,
or four breakaways last night.
Blah blah blah. Good. Get in line. We'll put the participation medal on you, and good on you. Those numbers don't matter. And you know, like Kip and I were talking about this today when I was driving in. We would play with the Rangers. We'd be up 3-0, 4-0 at the end of the first.
You guys carpool?
No, just chatting on the phone. Okay. And then the next two periods,
speakerphone.
It was all Mike Richter. You know, we get out shot 30-7, but it didn't matter. We were up by a touchdown in a bit or a field goal in a bit. And if you looked at the numbers at the end of the game, well, the Rangers got outchanced, they got outplayed, they got outshot. Didn't matter. We had the game won after 20 minutes. And that year in 94, when we won the President's Trophy, probably half our games were over after 20 minutes. We had won it. Mm-hmm. So those numbers don't mean anything to me. But the one thing, you know, a lot of heat is on Kessel. But there's other guys that have to step up too. You know, Santorelli in December was a really good player, putting up some really big numbers. You know, you had Tyler Bozak at times being a real effective player with that trio.
He's vanished.
So, gone.
Would you not have put Kessel in the shootout? It was Santorelli, Bozak.
That's an interesting point.
And I forget who shot third.
Horachuk also.
Ray Bork.
I'm not sure why he didn't call a timeout on the icing. But Carlisle never called timeouts either.
When you have a guy struggling that much, I would have had Kessel go in.
He didn't score a goal in the All-Star game. They scored 12.
He was at the All-Star game. None of the other players were at the All-Star game. And, you know, the buzz on the street, we're talking to players at the All-Star game, which is, we all get our own opinions as to what we think of players. And the word on the street from the players I talked to were, you got to be nuts if you're going to trade Phil Kessel.
I thought they rallied around Phil pretty good.
Pretty big
in Columbus,
way. And he was the star of the weekend, too. There's that moment where, you know, Chris Sutter, Sutter's young little guy, he gave the pregame speech, and he was going around the room
and
telling
And then on
guys,
the bench, giving instruction great. On the bench.
But he said to Kessel, he said, you going to play for me, Phil? You going to play for me? Chris, I'm going to play for you. Like, so those moments are good. He played along really, really well.
Yeah.
And good on him. It was a great weekend in Columbus, but he was there. And I agree with Kip. If you're going down on a ball of flames, I'm going down with guys that want the puck on their stick for the game. If I'm going to go down in Nagano, I'm going down with Wayne Gretzky with the puck on his stick.
So
I don't care if he's not good in breakaways.
So they didn't need the third shooter. It was Santorelli and Bozak. And I'm sitting there going, no JVR and no
Kessel. Who scored in a breakaway?
And no Kessel.
We start the show with Martin Brodeur announcing his retirement and end it with comparing Phil Kessel and Wayne Gretzky moments.
We covered a lot of ground here. Thanks for coming by. We'll call you if we need you.
This is great.
Again.
I look forward to your February appearance.
I didn't even tell you the story where Heels bought cowboy boots in Dallas. We'll have to do that next time.
Next time. Thanks to Darren Pang and Elliot Friedman for helping us out today. On Hockey Central at noon, the day the NHL says goodbye to Martin Brodeur as a goaltender.